Hello, my name is Cal. I'm the associate pastor here at Emmanuel for now. If you don't know, we are actually moving to Quebec in late summer, early fall time. And in fact, I just was there. I was there all week in Montreal and had quite the experience, overwhelming and yet exciting, of what we feel God's calling us to. And we believe that the kingdom of God needs to be built. Thank you for that amen, Sue. I believe in the kingdom of God. Every nook and corner of this round world, I don't know if you can have corners in a round world, but every spot in this world needs the gospel. Amen? And we are part of a great church that believes in partnering with people who are sent to go and spread that good news. Yes, it's good. It's good. So I encourage you to pray for us as we go about that. Well, let's just pray actually for this morning that God would open up our hearts and minds for what he wants to speak into our lives. And so I do encourage you, open your heart and your mind today, because I believe God wants to speak to each one of us. So Father, we thank you for your goodness. We want to hear your voice today. I pray through your word, it would enliven our spirits. There would be a burning in our hearts as we hear the words that you want to speak to each individual. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you do have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 24. It will be on the screen as well, so if you don't have your Bibles, you can still follow along. But if you want to follow along in your Bible, Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Just a quick little bit of background, though. This is right after Jesus had been crucified and died and buried in the tomb. And then three days later, this is when this is happening, all right? So it starts off like this. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests, the other religious leaders, handed him over to be condemned to death and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who had told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Have you ever had a moment of real disappointment? Right? Those moments where just didn't go right. You know, everybody in life, we're all looking to be happy and live a fulfilled life. And yet, I know so many who are unhappy and unfulfilled. You know, they had visions, they had dreams of how things were going to turn out, how life was going to be this and this and this, and they ended up disappointed. Is this true among Christians? Yes, absolutely it is. You know, and there's the question of why. Why do we who have this great hope have disappointment? Shouldn't Christians have this deeper purpose? Shouldn't we have this joy that goes beyond this worldly life? You know, we look at scriptures like John 10:10, when Jesus says this, he says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. In another translation, it talks about an abundant life. But I would guess that there would be plenty here in this room who are thinking, ooh, I don't feel that's my life. So let's get to the story. I want you to put yourself in there. And as we go through these scriptures, I ask you to open up your heart and your mind to what God wants to speak into your life this morning. And may I suggest that maybe, if we're disappointed, maybe we're seeing from a wrong perspective. Maybe our expectations of God are wrong. So here we have the story. We have two travelers. They're two disciples. They're traveling along the road. They're disappointed. They're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're disappointed because their leader, their teacher, their friends, Jesus, had just been killed. Things did not go as they were expecting. So they're walking and talking about what had just happened to them. And then Jesus himself appears and begins to walk with them. And the disciples didn't know who it was. He was just some stranger traveling along the same path, along the same time as they were. Scripture says that God kept them from recognizing him. That's interesting, isn't it? God kept them from recognizing him. Why was that? How was that? You know, there's different speculation of the whys and the hows. It could have been, you know, because in his resurrected body, it looked a little different. Some would speculate that, oh, just it was actually a thing that God actually did. He covered their eyes from understanding. But we don't really know exactly why, but we know they didn't recognize him. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, boy, I have a feeling this happens to us too. I have a feeling there's been plenty of times that we've been disappointed and we didn't recognize that Jesus was with us. You know, maybe not in the same physical way, but sometimes we're in the midst of a hard time or we're disappointed because things aren't going as we had hoped. And maybe we've prayed for help and said, God, if you would just do this, and it seems like he's not doing anything, things aren't working out, maybe like we thought would happen or how we hoped, kind of like what was going on with these disciples. And it may seem like he's not even around or listening. But again, let me perhaps mention that maybe he is with us. Maybe he's walking right beside you. Maybe we just don't recognize him. Whatever your disappointment is, even though it feels like God is far, know that he is not. So these two disciples, they're disappointed. And they tell him, you know, well, Jesus comes walking beside him. And then Jesus says, well, tell me, what are you talking about? And so they're surprised. They say, are you the only one who doesn't know what's been going on? Like, this is a big deal. Jesus, like the whole city was kind of came alive. This Jesus was crucified. So they're surprised. And then we see their disappointment really kind of rise up to the surface as basically they begin to explain how Jesus wasn't who they thought he was. You see, they thought Jesus was going to be the Messiah, leading Israel to victory over the Romans. But now, with the help of the Jewish religious leaders, the Romans had put him to death. Jesus had not met their expectations. Can you relate? Anybody here have those moments where you go like, God, where are you? God, I thought this. God, if you were really God, you would have done this. Ever had those moments in your life when Jesus isn't meeting up with your expectations and so you've become disappointed? And maybe we didn't receive that job that we were praying for, or that healing that we prayed for, or that relationship that got broken, or that relationship that didn't happen. Or maybe, you know, we've been hard in finances and trying to be faithful. We're praying and nothing seems to be working. You know, this wasn't part of my plan, God. God, why don't you help me? In fact, just a few days ago while I was in Montreal, I met with a young man and we were chatting, and that's exactly what he was talking about. He says, you know, I've prayed and this and this, and, you know, God just hasn't come through for me. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be difficulties in life, because we all know there will be plenty. And of course, we should pray through every issue that we have, because God does care. But we have to also remember that many of our disappointments come from our own expectations. We expect that God should do these things. God, if you were good and loving, you would of course do this. You know, God, if I was in your shoes, this is what I would do. God, my will be done. Instead of how Jesus taught us, your will be done. That's where we find these disciples. Jesus didn't do things the way that they had thought and hoped that he would. And we look at how they explain the Jesus that didn't meet their expectations. And they're explaining this to the real Jesus, who they didn't recognize. They said stuff like, he was a prophet, past tense. He did powerful things, past tense. He was a mighty teacher, past tense. They've closed the door on Jesus. The dream is dead. They said, we had hoped he was the Messiah. In other words, what they're really saying is, well, guess we were wrong on that one. Because this is what we were expecting. This is what the Messiah should be doing. But, you know, obviously that didn't happen. So I guess he wasn't. You see, their expectations had nothing to do with Jesus dying. He was supposed to take over and free them from the Romans. To them, what had happened was a huge defeat. They continue on their story. And if you remember the last few verses, it says they continued to talk about how there were some women that morning that had gone to the tomb and found it empty. The tomb was empty. And not only that, but they said that there was angels there at the tomb saying that he is no longer here. He is risen. And the ladies had come back and reported this. But it's not quite obvious through this story that they weren't believing it. You see, disappointment often leads to disbelief. And I'm going to guess there's going to be some of you here in this room that are really fighting with that. You've been disappointed because God hasn't met your expectations, and it's triggered possibly some disbelief. You know, disbelief isn't always bad. So if you disbelieve a falsehood, that's a good thing, right? So here, their belief wasn't right, so not believing that was actually a good thing. Disbelief can actually bring clarity from wrong expectations, but that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is these two disciples, they're starting to disbelieve the person of Jesus, who he was. And I don't know about you, but I've seen this way too often. People get disappointed, and then they start to question, well, maybe God's really not good. Maybe he's not loving. Maybe he doesn't care. And they begin to question their beliefs. Something doesn't work out. Bad things happen, and God gets blamed because we're expecting something else from him. But we got to watch our expectations. So, for instance, if you were expecting me to come up here with a full head of hair, you're really disappointed right now. Me too. It's okay. I'm disappointed too. So, you know, if you have expectations on me to have a whole full, beautiful head of hair, you're disappointed, but your disappointment isn't my fault. Because that's not really who I am. I'm bald, happy. At least my wife's happy with that, so that's good. And just so you know, it's really easy in the morning. It's like, hey. You know, our expectations determine a lot of times our disappointment. So if you're disappointed, I want to say this to you. There's the old saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. May I suggest this? Don't throw out your belief because of your unmet expectations. Because maybe your expectations are actually what is wrong. So my encouragement to you, if you're in disappointment and facing that disbelief, because I believe God wants to speak to you this morning, I want you to lay down your preconceived expectations and put your faith in the person and character of Jesus. We're going to continue on the story. So we're going to continue on verse 25. So again, we had walking along the road, and then they're explaining to Jesus what had happened, and now it's Jesus' turn. So verse 25 says this, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people.'" Nice, eh? "You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the way to the, through the prophets, explaining from the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going to go on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it's getting so late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment, he disappeared." Interesting, eh? "They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, 'The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter.'" So here we have it. They've been kind of telling Jesus, who they didn't recognize, what had happened to Jesus. And now Jesus begins to talk. And he seems really harsh at first. "You foolish people." I think what he's really doing is trying to shake them out of their funk. It's like, listen, I've got good news. Pay attention here. And he begins to explain through scripture and how their view is incorrect. He starts opening their minds to understand that God's way is better. And they're intrigued as things start coming clear. Then it says Jesus ends up staying with them. So, you know, they're traveling along. He's talking to them about what's going on. And they're so intrigued that as he's pretending to go on, they say, no, please come, stay. We want to hear more. We want to chat more with you. And so Jesus decides to stay with them. And as he's there, they share a meal, and they ask him to say the blessing. And as he says the blessing, boom, their eyes are open. They recognize him. And then, boom, he disappears. Anybody who is a fisherman here? Wow, where's Ben? Come on. You've probably heard those stories of the big one that got away. This feels like that, right? Like, they said, we've got him, and oh, he's gone. Just like that. But they had their cameras, so they actually had proof, right? So they were excited. Like, this was good news to them. He disappears. And as they recount what just happened, they say this. I love this. This is kind of what really grabbed me to this scripture. "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us?" Didn't our hearts burn? There was something that was so special that was going on. And I want you to know, when you have an encounter with Jesus, ever had those experiences where, it burns within your spirit. It burns within your soul. You've had an encounter with him. He's spoken into your life. You're feeling his presence all over you. And it burns within your spirit. With this encounter, these disciples had their belief refocused and their hope renewed. Their faith all of a sudden had a very new life to it. When you have an encounter with Jesus, it can be a game changer. It can be a life changer. These two disciples are so excited. It's nighttime, but they're so excited that they get up and they travel 7 miles in the dark all the way back from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. And they find the other disciples and they share the story. And they said, oh yeah, we know, it's true. Peter's even seen. They just listened to the women, eh? If they just listened to those women, they might get it a little faster. Right, women? Who needs this, Peter? We got the women talking. Anyhow, but Peter's seen it too. So there's this realness of what was going on. And then as they're with them, so we're going past where we read. As they're with the disciples at this point, all of a sudden Jesus appears again. He appears to them again. They have this encounter again with Jesus. And something incredible happens as their lives are changed. They're so excited. They're with Jesus. And Jesus tells them, I want you to go. Wait. Pray. And wait for the Spirit of God to come on you. And you will be empowered. They had no idea what was going to happen. Zero. But they were excited. They knew the truth. They knew Jesus was real. They had thrown away their expectations of what they had hoped for before. Oh, unless Jesus is going to, he's going to lead us in a rebellion to overtake the Romans. There was something new because they knew that God's purpose was bigger than the human realm. And they said, we're going to go pray. We're going to wait for the Holy Spirit. We have no idea what that means. We have no idea what's going to happen, but that is what we're going to do. And so they did. And then, as you know, Pentecost happens. And the Spirit of God falls on them. And they are empowered with the Spirit. And they begin to share the gospel. Their faith was invigorated. And they're empowered by the Spirit of God. The church is born. A movement has started. And the world was changed that day. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. The church was started that day. The movement was started that day, and the world was changed and is continuing to be changed throughout this day. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And the reason why I called this fulfilling faith is because too often as Christians, we're not living the life that God has called us to. And that's the only life that is fulfilling. You see, the story doesn't end with a cool experience of Jesus revealing himself. And too often as a church, we don't walk out what God has started in us. We have a moment of God with God, an encounter, and then we go home and reminisce. Oh, remember when? Back at camp, back at this place, back at that time when we had this encounter with Jesus. Remember when? Instead of walking through the next things that God has in store. An encounter with Jesus can and should be a life changer, but we have to choose to do something with it. These two have this encounter with Jesus. What do they do immediately? They walk back 7 miles to Jerusalem in the dark. Those days, traveling in the dark, not a safe thing. They didn't care. This was good news. Can't help it. We got to go. We got to go. And they found the other believers and they shared. They were so excited. And then they, you know, when Jesus appeared, they got more excited. And then they, as they kept on going, they followed him. They listened to him. They obeyed. They waited for the Spirit to come. It's part of the problem with our world today is we're wanting things so fast, right? We're the fast food world today. You know, I just want Jesus to do something now. Holy Spirit, do something now. Right now. Come on, come on, come on. On my terms, my will be done. No. His will be done. In his time, are we willing to wait upon the Lord to be empowered from on high? Are we willing to take the chance and walk back in that darkness for what God has in store? James, in the book of James, he says this in verse 20, faith without works is useless. And then again in 26, he says, faith is dead without good works. Some of us this morning are dragging around a faith that is dead and useless. Is this getting a little too close to home for some of us? We're dragging around. Some of you have come to church today because this is what you do on Sundays. Some of you have come to church because this is what your wife does on Sundays. Or your parents or whatever, right? Sometimes we're just going through the motions of faith. That is not what this is about. God wants you to have a life that is full, that is abundant, that is satisfying, that is fulfilling. That's what he wants from you. But you remember, got to remember, faith without action is useless and dead. It's not about having a feeling. This is not what God intended. What good is a belief if I don't do something about it? Too many aren't experiencing fulfilling, rich, satisfying, abundant faith because we've limited our faith to a belief system versus an action. Think about it. In practicality, when do you get excited? You usually get excited when you're doing something, especially if you're doing something that's risky, that's got energy with it. Typically, we don't get excited reading books. I like reading books. And there are times where my spirit does get excited, but it doesn't last if I don't do anything with that knowledge. You know what I mean? There has to be a walking out of something. That's where faith really comes alive. So let me encourage you. Be active with your faith. Do something risky with your faith. Express your faith. So today I want to say if you're disappointed, if your disappointment maybe has spilled over into disbelief, first of all, check your expectations. What are your expectations of God? Oh God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. It's God, what do you want? And then walking in obedience to that. We have to get away from our consumeristic, self-centered type of faith and say, God, this is about you. It's not about me. This is about you. Check your expectations. Next, you know, maybe you need to lay them down and ask God to reveal his plans. You see, following is about focusing on who's leading. If you're not following who's leading, then you're like, have you ever seen those videos of people who are texting while they're walking? And they walk into things or they fall in a hole or into a water fountain or something like that. That often is how we are. We're so self-focused that we just kind of fall into our own problems versus following what God wants. So watch your own expectations. The second thing is realize that Jesus is walking with you. Yes, he may be leading, but he's close. He promised never to leave or forsake us. So good, isn't it? Next, listen to him. That is those two disciples, they were talking about what's going on, but then they took the time to listen and even invited him in. That would be the next thing. Invite him in. Invite Jesus in to stay. Take that time. Spend it with him while you're listening to him. Don't rush on with life. The next thing is be filled with the Spirit. Those same two disciples were part of that upper room. Wait on him. Get serious about what your faith is really about. You see, being filled with the Spirit, well, as Pentecostals, sometimes we get that whole thing mixed up. And maybe in charismatics, and well, maybe just wrong expectations there. You see, being filled with the Spirit is not about charismatic expression. That's not what it's about. Being filled with the Spirit is empowerment for witness. It's very clear in Scripture. That's the purpose of being filled with the Spirit. It's not to go, ooh, I feel good. It's to have the presence of, it does feel good, doesn't it? Yeah, but it's not about that. It's about being filled with his presence so that you are so excited like these disciples that you have to go and share the gospel. You have to give the good news to the world. That is what being filled with the Spirit's about. Finally, let me encourage you to do something with your faith. Do something. Faith needs expression. Jesus sends us out with a purpose. You know that? We have a mission. You know, I know for us right now, we're right in the thick of it where we're feeling, okay, God's sending us to Quebec. And to be honest, I was just there, like I said, and I'm walking the cities. I'm walking the city. I'm on the metro. Thousands of people everywhere all around me. And part of me is going, what are you doing, Calcron? What are you doing? And especially when I hear them speaking French, it's like, what are you doing? I can't talk to these people. But at the same time, I've got this sense of excitement. My faith is coming alive once again like it hasn't for a little while because I'm on mission. And it becomes fulfilling when you're following the call of God. And I just believe that none of us will be fulfilled, will never be fulfilled, until we're following the call of Jesus to make disciples. That is the call. That's where fulfillment lies. What I want to do is I'm going to ask James to come back up, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And so wherever you're at, maybe you're at a place of disappointment this morning. Maybe you're at a place of you're questioning your beliefs. Maybe you're kind of like, maybe you're not questioning. Maybe you're not specifically disappointed with God, but you're just disappointed with life. It's thrown you some curveballs, and it's hard. I want you to ask you to come and pray. For some of you, maybe it's you're going like, I don't have anything bad going on, but boy, I feel like my faith is kind of useless and dead inside. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit this morning. And so I'm going to ask the prayer team, if the prayer team could come up right now. Come on, prayer team, get up here. And if you have anything that you're feeling, maybe you want to have someone pray with you, maybe you just want to come and kneel at the front here or over here, just because you just want to meet with God. If you are in those places, you're disappointed, you're having a hard time with your belief, you're feeling like your faith is dead, you want to be empowered by the Spirit of God, I'm going to call you up to come and pray, to meet with the Lord, to spend time. Don't forget, the disciples, they waited for a week. You know, sometimes it takes time to pray through. And don't just pray this morning. Go home and pray the rest of this week. Continue to sink in and dive into what God has for you this morning. Because God wants to do something in your life and in my life. He wants us to have a faith that's fulfilling, that's active, that's going somewhere. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to just have some ideology of faith. I want to be walking in it with Jesus. Do you? Lord, we pray this morning. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at. Lord, each of us have our own things that where we're at. But Lord, there's some people here today who've been really disappointed. They've been disappointed with life. Some have been disappointed because, you know, they thought you were going to do something in their lives or for them, It just didn't work out the way, kind of like these disciples. And Lord, I pray that this morning that they would encounter you and see you fresh for who you are. For those who are having doubts and disbelief because you haven't been what they had thought or hoped. I pray this morning, again, like these disciples, that their eyes would be opened to see that your ways are not our ways. In fact, your ways are way above our ways. You have a long game and plan. And so much of that has to do with where we're at individually right now. And unless we take that step today, we never get to the next step. Lord, for those of us who've been maybe a part of the church for a long time, maybe we're not struggling with disappointment or disbelief, but we're feeling like our faith is kind of dead. Doesn't feel like it's invigorating right now. Lord, I pray that we would come and receive from you. Allow you to not only fill us this morning, but then we would take what you give us and walk it out this coming week. So we pray this in your holy name. Amen. So start coming. People already have started coming. If that's you, if you would stand, we're just going to worship a little bit more. And you don't have to come to the front. You could pray where you are. But if you just really feel like, you know what, I feel like God's calling me right here and just to meet with him, spend some time, I encourage you to do that. So let's just engage in this right now.